And in your Bibles, Mark chapter number 6, please. Mark chapter number 6. Tonight I want to bring a message. I've given a simple title, A Vacation, the Bible, and some school. Ring a bell? Vacation Bible School, but the title is A Vacation, the Bible, and some school. Mark in chapter number 6 here, if you will, before we get to our text verse. Mark 6 is an amazing chapter, to be honest. There is a lot going on in Mark chapter number 6. And of course, it's one of the lengthy chapters in the book of Mark here, 56 verses in total. But it encompasses a great deal of the life here, what is going on during the ministry of Christ, what's going on in the landscape as far as the people around Christ, what's going on as far as the disciples of Christ, as well as the apostles, and some of the interaction between them and individuals, some of the things that are happening, some of the miracles that we're amazed by that Christ performed. All of these things are going here. A very tragic event takes place here in Mark chapter number 6 as well. At the onset of the chapter, it speaks here about Him going into His own country. And as He begins teaching and preaching here, in fact, if you go in verse number 2, and the Sabbath day was come, and He began to teach in the synagogue, and many hearing Him were astonished, saying, from whence hath this man these things? They were astonished at His... And we're not yet to our passage that we're going to use as our text verse, so I'm just giving you a little bit of a forewarning. I don't know if that's what you'd call it or not, but they're astonished here at His teaching. Now, I would say that I will be astonished as well when I get to heaven and I get to sit under the teaching of the Son of God. I will be astonished at what the Bible held in store for my life that I was not able to crack open. Now, as we grow in grace, as the Bible teaches us to do, as we grow in grace and we begin to learn more things about the Bible, and lights begin to come on as far as Scripture, it's exciting. You remember back when you first got saved, or when you first really began to be involved with what the Bible has for your life. And you begin to grow. And it was like the growth was so rapid. It seems every service, the passages that were brought out were new passages to you. And the lights came on. And that excitement. We talked a little bit about it this morning when the book of Hebrews. There was the excitement that happened when they first got saved. But it began to wax and wane a little bit as they moved on in life. But think back to the exciting things and how astonished you were at the doctrine of the Bible. How astonished you were about how it set things up for your life. How God expected you to live your life. It ran contrary to what the world said. It ran contrary to what the majority of religion says. And it's astonishing to be honest. And so they were astonished at this, of course. And they began to say, "Boy, isn't he the carpenter, verse number 3, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph and Judah and Simon? Are not his sisters here with us?" And then it says they were offended at him. What a quick change. They were astonished at his doctrine. But it didn't take too long and they were offended at him. And of course, he makes the statement there, verse number 4, a prophet is not without honor, but in his own country and among his own kin and in his own house. I have said it is difficult to deal with your family, probably more so than it is with the strangers in a community that you don't know, that don't know you well. Sometimes it's difficult because they know your life before you got saved, and now they're asking you questions about what is this new religion that you found. You certainly weren't like this when you were a young man, when you were my brother or my sister, when you were my son or my daughter. This isn't how you lived your life. And now all of a sudden you seem to have all of the answers, and it's a difficult thing, and the Lord brings that out. Of course, it sends in verse number 7. He sent them out two by two. And so now we see the description of our modern day soul winning. Oftentimes, we'll try to split up by two and two. Sometimes we have to go in groups of three, but generally it's the easiest when two will go out, either a husband, wife, or two ladies, or two men, and they'll go out in the community, will go out and go soul winning, and kind of get that from the passage here that speaks about this. And of course, the Bible here, Jesus is teaching them about how to deal with people that do not want to, that don't want to listen to you, they don't want to listen to doctrine. It moves then quickly over into Herod hearing about the teaching and the preaching. And then, of course, we're in verse number 16. He had heard here, Herod in verse 17 himself had sent forth and laid hold on John. So now we're talking here about John that was going to be beheaded just in a few verses. And John had said in verse 18 to Herod, "It is not lawful for thee to have thy brother's wife." And of course, it comes to play in verse number 26. The king was exceeding sorry. "Yet for his oath's sake and for their sake, which sat with him, he would not reject her." Of course, he had given the daughter of Herodias the will to do whatever she wants. And she wanted nothing more than the head of John the Baptist on a platter. And of course, so he did. Immediately, verse 27, the king sent an executioner and commanded his head to be brought. And he went and beheaded him in prison. And so this had just happened. Now I'm going to ask you to stand. I know we've read several passages, but I want you to stand. Look at verses number 30 and 31. These are the text passages that we have here tonight. In verse number 30 it says, "And the apostles gathered themselves together unto Jesus and told him all things, both that they had done and what they had taught. And he said unto them, Come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while. For there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat." Now, it doesn't say that they went apart into a desert place, all right? Don't. There aren't enough S's in there, all right? They went apart into a desert place. Yes, they were going to eat, they were going to rest, but I want us to take a look here at a vacation, the Bible, and some school. Let's have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray tonight you'd just be with the message, Lord, in simplicity. Dear God, I pray that you'd just help us, Lord, just to a very simple, but Lord, I believe a thought-provoking message that you've given to us. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to consider this. Lord, we're right here, ready to begin Vacation Bible School. But Lord, I pray that we'd take those three words and we'd think about them. Lord, the vacation, the Bible, and some learning. Lord, some school. Be with us this evening, Lord. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I have you be seated tonight. Now we could go on. There are many other things. Of course, the feeding of the 5,000 happens just shortly after this, and many other things that happen here in the Jesus walking on the water. As I say, some miracles, some reasoning and understanding before. It's truly a fascinating passage. But right here, just nestled right in the very middle, these two verses, where he says that the apostles gathered themselves together unto Jesus. They came back. He had sent them out in verse number 7. He sent the 12, and they began to send them forth two by two. So here we're talking more than just the disciples. Up in verse number 1, and he went from thence and came to his own country, and his disciples followed him. That's more than just the 12. That were all of those. How many? The Bible never details for us the number. Now we know that the majority of the Jews rejected Christ. We know that without question. But there were some who became disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. There were then, of course, the apostles that he sends out two by two. And at the end of the beheading of John the Baptist, in verse number 28, they brought his head in a charger. He came to gave it to the damsel, and the damsel gave it to her mother. And when the disciples heard of it, they came and took up his corpse and laid it in a tomb. They took care of the body of John the Baptist. And then, of course, right after that, the apostles gathered themselves together unto Jesus, and they begin telling him all the things that they had done and all of the things that they had taught. Boy, I can imagine the excitement at that particular time. I can imagine the buzz that would have been going on as the apostles are talking about, and they're waiting their turn. Oh, and someone will, maybe John is talking about this that happened, and Matthew's like, I remember that where I was, and the lady that I was talking to, and oh, she was discouraged. Boy, it was wonderful to be able to talk about the love of Christ and retelling about the Messiah. And you can imagine just a buzz that would have been going on. They began to tell him all the things that they did and all that they had taught.
Oh, I stood on the side of a hill. I never would have imagined that I would have 600-700 people just at my fingertips being able to tell them of you, Lord. I'm sure it was exciting. But then the Lord says, all right, I want you to come apart into a desert place and rest a while. For there were many coming and going, and they had not so much leisure, had no leisure so much as to eat. I want to give you four thoughts from these two verses. I want you to write them down. I want you to think about them as we head into the summer time. As we head, we're about, I guess, halfway through, really. But we're thinking about the things that need to be done still, perhaps around the house. I think about the things that need to be done still around the house of God. Still things that need to be done before the Lord returns. You know, as a husband, you ever had your wife goes away and maybe she's gone to a ladies' conference or something like that, and you're thinking, man, I've got 2-3 days here. I get to be a little bit of a bachelor, and you know, you cook your TV dinners and you throw the plate in the sink and dishes back up, and all of a sudden Saturday, and you realize, man, she's coming back. I better get this place clean. You better think that way. I had a friend one time said, I left the place dirty. I wanted my wife to know she was missed. I'm like, you are a nut. You are a nut. I don't know what might have happened in that household, but I didn't want to be there. But some things that we need to think about. Number one, write this down if you would. Fulfill your responsibilities faithfully. Fulfill your responsibilities faithfully. We see there in verse number 30, the apostles gathered themselves together unto Jesus and told Him all things both that they had done and what they had taught. Fulfill your responsibilities faithfully. Be sure to do what you've been given to do and do it faithfully. Now, tonight our message is really going to be centered around the service for the Lord. And in the thought of the service for the Lord, the responsibilities that you have been given around the house of God, whether it be a Sunday school class, or whether it be a lawn man, whether it be the janitor, whether it be the Bible teacher, whether it be the vacation Bible school worker, whether it be the prop builder, whether it be the cleanup individual, whatever it might be. Whatever it might be, whether it be the one that runs the game times, whether it be the one that does the craft, whether it be the one that just kind of stands and watches over and adds an air of security to the week. And of course, as we move forward, we begin thinking about the newest ministry that we've started as far as our bus route is concerned and the areas of our bus ministry that we've asked not only those who go out into the area and invite the children in and go out then on Sunday and bring them in, but also those who you have raised your hand and you have said, Pastor, I want to be involved in the bus ministry. I want to have an area of service. And it might be that you would say to yourself, well, I was hoping for a little bit more notoriety. Maybe someone would see me a little bit more. Maybe I'd have a little bit more to do. But you've taken an area of responsibility. Can I say to you, fulfill your responsibility faithfully. Do it faithfully. Do it repeatedly. Do it over and over and over until such time that God makes it very clear that you're supposed to change your area of responsibility. Don't decide, well, I've done it once or twice. I've done it about a month now. It didn't really seem to make any difference. Didn't really seem to be noticed, and so I'll just kind of let it go by the wayside. And if no one says anything more to me about it, then I'll not worry about it a second time. I'll just let it go. Oh, can I ask you? Can I beg for you? Fulfill your areas of responsibility faithfully. Fulfill them faithfully. We joke about the husband and the wife. And it might be that in your house where the dishes are always cleaned and the clothes are always washed and the floor is always vacuumed and the bed is always made and all of these things. And I don't care whichever one does either of those jobs. And oftentimes we kind of find ourselves where it's never really noticed. No longer is it said, thank you for vacuuming the floor. Thank you for washing the dishes. Thank you for laundry.
laundering the clothes. Thank you for making the bed. And it used to be the boy, I always got the praise. There's a little cartoon that I love. Bill is at the sink and he's washing the dishes. And in his thought bubble, he's got a thought bubble that his wife is coming up to me, coming up and saying, Bill, you're the most wonderful husband in all of the world. And at the bottom it says, Bill sets himself up for failure. He's thinking, oh, I'm doing the dishes tonight. She's going to love that. Oh, she's going to be sweet on me. Setting yourself. So, nobody joked. Nobody laughed, all right? So, that's my personal joke, I guess. But now listen. No one praises you when it continues to happen repeatedly. But when it starts to slip, it begins to be noticed. You might say, well, no one notices when I'm doing it. Well, people will notice when you're not doing it. People will notice when you stop doing it. Fulfill your responsibilities faithfully. And in 2 Timothy 4 and verse 7, it says, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. In fact, in Acts chapter 20, we see here as Paul says, for I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Fulfill your responsibilities faithfully. We see that in Scripture. We see that character in Scripture. We should be the same. The second thing that I see from this is we should evaluate your effectiveness carefully. By the way, we're here at the schooling portion of our vacation and the Bible and school. We're in the school portion right now. Fulfill your responsibilities faithfully. The second thing, evaluate your effectiveness carefully. Again, in verse number 30, the apostles gathered themselves together unto Jesus and told Him all things, both what they had done and what they had taught. I can imagine that they were going over in their mind before they recounted a story to the Savior. They were going over this. Was this a good engagement that I had with this man, with this lady? The time that I spent, was it truly effective? Or is this just one of those funny stories that I want to tell? And I'm sure at the beginning of the time, probably everyone was kind of chiming in with their funny stories, but then it began to take on a little bit more of a serious tone. The conversation began to be a little more meat-filled. And they were talking about maybe tears coming down. Hey, they were talking about the dear lady, that she understood finally what the Messiah was all about. And it made such an impact on the apostle that dealt with her. And it made such an impact on the wife, or the husband of the dear lady. And so one of the other apostles that was just about ready to chime in with some anecdote, some cute little story, began to realize, hold on, wait a minute, was I effective in my ministry? And he begins to evaluate himself. And I believe that we should do the same. Evaluate your effectiveness carefully. Are you being effective for God? Your area of service that you've taken, that we're asking, that you'll continually and faithfully fulfill, is it effective for God? Is it effective? My brother, when he was my pastor, he drilled into those who would work with him and considered on his staff. He says, I want you to consider two things at every point. Is it effective and is it efficient? Is there a more efficient way to do it? But is there a more effective result? Are we effective with what we do? The thrust of every ministry in our church. I want you to listen. Sunday school teachers, Bible teachers especially. The thrust of every ministry of our church is the salvation of souls. That's the thrust. Whether they're able to memorize the Bible verse, I'm glad when they do. But if they memorize the Bible verse and they don't know whether they're going to go to heaven or not, that Bible verse isn't going to stand for the rest of eternity for them. It will be haunting them for all of eternity as they spend time in hell. The Bible verses that they memorize at vacation Bible school, but yet salvation was never brought out. Oh, is it effective? Evaluate your effectiveness carefully. Look at your service or lack thereof. And evaluate carefully how effective is my service or how non-productive is my lack thereof. Is it effective? Is it efficient? If not, ask God for wisdom to make it so.
Ask God for that wisdom. In James 1 and verse 5 it says, if any man lack, or if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. So, evaluate your effectiveness carefully. And if you are not being effective in the area of ministry, then ask God for the wisdom to be effective. Oh Lord, would you let me be effective? How can I? What can I do? I'm not looking for some new word of knowledge. I'm not looking for some newfangled way to do it. I'm just saying, Lord, would you let me be effective in the area of ministry that you've allowed? The third, if you'll write this down, know your limits personally. In verse number 31, it says, he said unto them, come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while. For there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat. This is the vacation portion of it. Know when to say no. Know your limits personally. However, don't take advantage of that. Know your limits. But don't say, well, you're asking me to take this area of responsibility, but I'm already responsible for opening the door at the beginning of every service. Don't ask me to take more. That's taking advantage of your limits. Push yourself a little bit. I know that I'm a little odd. I know that. Yeah, amen, 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 and hallelujah. But when I was a child, I was always testing myself, I guess. I knew the limits that I could do. And I'm talking physically, you know, some of the things. I knew I wasn't a football player. I wasn't built like a football player unless midgets played football, you know, little scrawny runs. Come on, I was 96 pounds as a freshman in high school. Come on, man. Whoo! All skin and bone, no muscle. I tell you, I was a toothpick walking out there on the wrestling mat. I knew that, but I also knew what I could and what I couldn't do. I would test myself. So as far as our areas of responsibility, I believe that, yes, I know that we need to say no every now and then. But every now and then, maybe yes should be the result. Let's know our areas of let's know our limits personally. As I say, test yourself in little areas, gaining confidence, and then tackle bigger tasks as you gain strength. Those smaller areas. You begin as a helper in Sunday school. And boy, praise the Lord, those things are going great. You begin as a helper in Vacation Bible School. You begin as a helper during the Bible time. As I've said before, when you're here at VBS and you're helping in the area of Bible time, it's not the time to be back in the back fellowshipping with everyone. That's the time to be engaged. That's the time to be in and with all of the children. And so you learn and you watch. Oh, I ask for people to watch. I ask for those individuals who, throughout the tenure that I have been here, different individuals that I can see have the capability of more, and I'll ask them, would you watch the things that are happening? Would you don't just sit by idly while the service is going on, but watch what happens during the service. Take notice what happens during the song service. Take notice what happens at this pulpit as the song leader is leading the songs and engaging with the congregation. Take notice of those who are on the platform. Take notice of those who hold the Bible and who preach the Bible. One of the most effective things that I was ever taught, and it was taught by my brother, is he said, Meredith, when you preach, lose yourself in preaching. Don't worry about what they say. You know what God's told you to say? Say it. Amen. Know your limits personally. I understand that we occasionally need to say no. But take some steps. You may say, oh, I've got a real... My limit is way down here. But God would be saying, no, your limit's quite a bit higher than that. Know your limits personally. The last thing I want you to write down, and this truly is the vacation portion of it, escape the routine periodically. Escape the routine. Look at verses 31 and 32 again. He said unto them, come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while. For there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat. And they departed into a desert place by ship privately. And of course, there were many that saw them. They watched and they followed on foot. But they separated themselves, escaped the routine periodically. Take a vacation. Take a vacation. That's a needed thing. Now, if you have areas of responsibility around the church, I don't know that a 2-week vacation every other month is necessary. And I can say that because we don't have people doing that, but I'll say it now, you know, kind of preventative maintenance before it begins happening, right? But there are going to be times where you need to take a vacation. You need to. I said recently to an individual, I want you to leave, but I don't want you to be gone. And that's true. I want you to leave, but I don't want you to be gone. Well, how can that happen? It's not going to happen. It'll be all right. We'll get through it. There are going to be times where we need to say, let me just step back. I heard one time the man said, quote, I used to say, the devil never takes a vacation, so why should I? The man then said, until I realized that the devil is not my example. God, as the example, said, I want you to come with me. Let's move aside. Now, you'll notice, rest a little while. It was very little, because immediately they were on the go again. Immediately. They had 5,000 people that they were going to have to try to feed with just a lunch, a pail lunch. And the Lord said, let's get it done. And they were on the move again. So that vacation that we take, that escape from the routine periodically, we need it. But we can get right back in. Fall right back into place. Pick up exactly where we left off. Because it's needed. As much as the vacation is needed, the job at hand needs to be done. A vacation, the Bible, and some school. Let's learn these truths, if you will. Let's learn these simple facts of life as we go into this vacation time of our lives. Let's have a word of prayer to Heavenly Father. Lord, please, I pray You'd be with us. Again, Lord, just a very simple thought. But Lord, tonight, just something I believe that we can take, Lord, we can chew on, and that You will use to help us, dear God, to continue on. Lord, the last thing that I would ever want to see is someone that would be so involved that they get burned out. And Lord, we know that that has happened. And I pray that You would help us, Lord, to safeguard that from happening here. I pray that we would make sure that we're effective at what we do. But Lord, I pray that we would also realize that we need to know our limits. We need to test ourselves. But then there are going to be times where we need to say, we're just going to step aside for just a moment and then get right back in the fight. This evening, your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed, and I don't know.